And we're back. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hoops HD's Under the Radar podcast. Coming to you live here. We're recording the evening of Wednesday, December 30th, which makes this the very last Hoops HD podcast of any kind for 2015. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, streaming to you live from Monmouth territory here in New Jersey. And joining us by audio feed only tonight is David Griggs. David, you ready for the new year?
No.
No.
Well, last year, I mean, I started celebrating New Year's Eve as soon the day after Thanksgiving, really.
Well, I thought you were going to say January 2nd. But
No, I mean, I keep celebrating.
Okay.
Yeah. But I am right. I mean, it's been a while since I actually remembered what I was doing at midnight. I mean, I always see the pictures the next day. But
Actually, you know, the one thing I do like about New Year's in terms of college basketball is that it's kind of like when we get to the beginning of November, we have the start of the regular season, and we're all excited for all these games. And then about a week or two into the season, we realize that there's only so much of Elon versus Duke and UC Riverside against Arizona that any of us can really take.
Yeah.
But as we hit the new year, conference play gets underway, and we're suddenly hit with so many better games, and where every game is, even though with realignment, still so many games are still intense rivalries.
Yeah, you do have the conference rivalries. You do have the stakes. And if anything, again, not to like promote us, I think the real spirit of the conference rivalries is stronger with the under the radar conferences. You look at the Metro Atlantic, although that one's bloated out. You look at the Mid American, you look at the Ivy League, the Patriot League, the Northeast Conference. I mean, I really think that there's a stronger sense in spirit. You know, there's a different feel to it. You know that you're watching a conference game, even if it is the Northeast Conference or, you know, well, maybe not the Southland. That one's just almost too pathetic. But, you know, the Colonial, anything else, but including one that we're going to highlight tonight that we really like.
Yeah, before, actually, the point I wanted to make on that whole issue about the conference play, though, is when it comes to the under the radar conferences, 99% of these schools are only playing for an automatic bid. And what they did during the season up to now is almost meaningless, other than if they do get the bid, where's the committee going to seed them? Yeah, we have a few exceptions, the Monmouths, the Arkansas Little Rocks, the some teams of the Missouri Valley Conference. But for the most part, whatever anybody did in the SWAC or whatever anybody did in the Southland or whatever anybody did in the Atlantic Sun up till now is just, you know, a little bit of fluff, really. But these games are where you start playing for your seeding in the conference tournament, to even qualify for the conference tournament, for home court and some conferences.
For the leagues that do it right, you're playing for home court.
But at least you're playing for seeding, if nothing else. And that could be huge, to be the one seed versus being the sixth seed is a huge difference on your road to make trying to win that automatic bid.
Mm-hmm.
But we did want to like to highlight one conference at the top of each show. And today we wanted to start with one of the leagues that's actually starting conference play tonight here, Wednesday night, and that's the Patriot League, which...
Yes, I tried to segue into this earlier, but you blocked it.
I completely blew it up. Yes, sorry about that.
Completely blocked my segue. Nice going. But yeah, the Patriot League.
Yeah. Anyhow, okay, it's a league. It has teams. Oh, we're going to actually talk about the league. Yeah. The one of the things we liked about the Patriot League heading into the season was how much parity there had been in the conference last season. The big example I give is that Army last year, we thought was going to be one of the top teams in the league, ended up finishing dead last, but was only about three games out of finishing in third place when you look at the final standings last year.
Yeah.
We're really starting to look like we may have the same thing this year again.
Yeah, tonight, all the games going on right now, it's kind of funny. And this is another thing this league does. I don't know. I know they don't have the extensive media deal that some of the other leagues are playing, but they tend to play all at the same time. I mean, you know, it's 7 o'clock Eastern time on, I believe it's Wednesday or Thursday. All five or all 10 teams are tipping off in five different games. So.
Right. Yeah, they all play. I think they also play on Saturdays. They may spread the games out a little more on the weekend games, but I see, five games tonight. One of them was a 7:30 tip, the game down in Loyola, but the rest of them were all 7 p.m. Eastern starts. And like I said, the only game that's not close actually is Bucknell is up pretty big on Navy right now, which is a little bit surprising because non-conference, Navy was one of the better-looking teams, and Bucknell had been kind of disappointing.
Yeah, they had been. So, But again, Bucknell, it's they're kind of a team we like. This Army team, they've had a really good out of conference run. They had a really nice win over a good Monmouth team the other night. We'll get to Monmouth later. In a nutshell, I think you need to be dinged a little bit, because if you're a tournament caliber team, you should be expected to win at Army. But there's also the whole body of work argument, but we'll save that for later. Good win for Army. And really, I mean, it tops off. I think they've won six of their last seven going into the night, and they're winning the night. So this is an Army team that has a lot of momentum, and they look pretty good, especially when they're at home.
Yeah, they had a very weird hiccup losing at home. The one game out of the last seven they did lose. They lost at home to Marist. Still haven't figured that one out. But other than that, the only other two losses were at GW and at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee's not that great this year. Almost lost to Tennessee State the other night. But they're still, you know, that's a name brand school. You don't really expect Army to go down to Tennessee and win. And they would, but yeah. They've looked good, and I think this could be the year for them.
I've never been in the NCAA tournament. Is that right?
Correct. They've never been to the NCAA tournament.
Not even in the Krzyzewski or Knight years.
Actually the story is, and I don't have the year right on the tip of my tongue, and I apologize for that, but 1 year when Bob Knight was coaching there and Krzyzewski was the point guard, they actually did receive an NCAA tournament invite, and Bob Knight turned it down because he would rather play in the NIT. And back then you were allowed to do that. And back then it actually did make sense. It did happen every now and then, believe it or not. That shows how different the world has college basketball is these days.
But yeah, and they've been cursed ever since. It's
cursed ever since. Thank you, Bobby Knight and Coach K. Thank you very much.
Right. So instead of the curse of the Bambino, it's the curse of Bob Knight.
Which is also befalling Indiana, I believe. But and Texas Tech, but okay.
Right. But good Army team, and another thing we love about this league, and this isn't the first time you're hearing this, and it won't be the last. I love how they structure their conference tournament, campus sites all the way through. It puts lots of stakes, lots of emphasis on the regular season, and within a league with so much parity, like you mentioned, two or three games separating 10 teams, that creates a lot of great storylines as conference play continues. I think some leagues that don't do it that way really cheat themselves out of what would be a much more exciting and meaningful regular season. This conference does it right. The tournaments, I mean, every game is sold out or close to it, seemingly. It's the two-thirds, one-third rule, so the visiting team gets a third of the tickets. It's fantastic atmospheres for most of the regular season and especially for the conference tournament. This in the Northeast, which is a lower level, are kind of two of my favorite leagues because of the rivalry and because of how the conference tournament is structured in a way that makes the regular season meaningful.
Yeah. But then, of course, even though you structure it like that, it's not necessarily going to hold form. Looking at last year's Patriot League tournament, Lafayette came out of, I believe, the 4 seed. Ended up getting a home game in the championship game because American, who I believe was a 7 seed,
yeah,
ended up making the championship game as well. But that also showed how much parity you had. When you have the 4 seed and the 7 seed battling in the championship game of your conference tournament, I mean, that shows that you know, all these teams were just so even last year.
Yeah.
But from Lehigh in third place down to Loyola in 9th place, there were 3 games separating the teams there. That's how close it was.
Yeah, and we did kind of have a fun storyline in the opening round when Army visited Navy, and how much fun was that?
I mean, it was fun. It was almost a little disappointing that the Navy crowd wasn't as big as we thought it might be, but it was also a very short notice for that game, and I think it might have been over spring break as well. But let's go ahead and run through some of these other under-the-radar conferences now that we are – about to hit conference play for most of them. Only a few conference games have actually been played as of when we're recording this. But another very nice win over the past week happened in the America East, where Stony Brook went ahead and won at NJIT, and not only won, but won it in convincing fashion.
Yeah, we'll get to the A-Sun very shortly, but Stony Brook, they've won 4 in a row. Three of those have been away from home, and they haven't exactly been NJIT, a pretty tough place to win. The other win that wasn't on the road was at home against Hofstra, who we like out of the Colonial quite a bit. So this Stony Brook team has really come to life in the last couple weeks.
Another home win they had earlier this year. They beat Princeton at home 91-77. This is a Princeton team that we do kind of like in the Ivy League and almost knocked off Miami last night. So
yeah, they did. Right in there. Really surprising, at least to me. Because Stony Brook looking really good by America East standards. This conference used to do it completely wrong. Now they do it right. It's at campus sites. And there's a lot to play for, and how exciting would it be to see Stony Brook hosting the championship game and losing it again?
Well, that'd be kind of an instant replay. Maybe they need to be on the road for that title game. But Stony Brook actually with one remaining non-conference game coming up this weekend. They're hosting Columbia, another interesting test, another team that we kind of like out of the Ivy League coming in there. But over in the A-Sun, we just mentioned this, NJIT.
Oh, boy.
Now sitting at 7-6, and as we're recording this, they're in a dogfight at St. Francis of Pennsylvania as well, which would be a really ugly loss on their resume.
Yes. Let's talk about NJIT for a second. This was our team. It was the team of the people. We still like this team.
Last year.
Yes.
Last
year they were the team of the people. What's wrong with this team? Can they just not deal with not being the team of the people? Is that the problem here?
I don't know. They've had some what I'll call disappointing losses. I mean, if they – right as we record this, they're tied with the game with SFPA, about 8 minutes left in it. But I can't say any of their losses this year were absolutely horrible. The loss to Stony Brook, we just talked about how much you like Stony Brook. They lost at Columbia. They lost to a decent Kent State team. They lost at Albany.
Yeah.
Providence, Kentucky, their other two. This would be a bad loss tonight. They still got a trip to Yale coming up next week before they start conference play. That's probably another loss there.
Yeah. Now, with the exception of North Florida, the rest of this conference is absolutely pitiful, even by A-Sun standards. Very disappointing year for the A-Sun this year. We went from having 3 and 4 fairly competitive teams, normally like – now I know Mercer has left. Gulf Coast was normally competitive. Upstate was normally competitive. I mean, you normally had at least 3 solid teams. This year you don't really have one.
Yeah, you've got the it's a down year for Gulf Coast, a down year for Upstate. Northern Kentucky, which was an up-and-coming team, left the conference. So really it's down to if NJIT is not going to be there, but I still think they will be, it's going to be North Florida and nobody.
Yeah, I agree.
Over in the Big Sky, this conference is looking more and more like a 16 seed. Sacramento State has struggled after their big win to start the season at Arizona State, and I'm still waiting for somebody else to step up here, and they really haven't.
Yeah, Sac State, again, I mean, they had the big win to open the year, and, you know, they've lost 3 of 4. Now, I realize they beat Pacific Union. I did check, Chad. That is not a railroad. I was mistaken. That is a university basketball team. Now, but other than that, their last 4 Div 1 games, they've lost 3 of them. The only win coming against Incarnate Word, who's transitioning up. I think what we had here was a bad team that played well the first night of the season against a team, an Arizona State team that hasn't quite found itself and ended up winning the game. I don't even think they're going to be competitive within the Big Sky.
Well, if they're not going to be, the team that I'm still looking at is this Weber State team, mostly because they picked up a very nice home win over South Dakota State last week.
Yeah.
But they even have some very head-scratching losses, such as a double overtime loss at Utah Valley, and this is a bad Utah Valley team.
Yeah, Denver isn't particularly good either. They had a stretch where they played BYU. That game in Salt Lake for some reason. I mean, I realize that the Utah teams all play each other. Well, they used to anyway. I didn't realize that they were moving that one to Salt Lake. Utah, so they lost that by 5. Utah Valley by 3. Denver by 1. That's got to kill you when you lose 3 games by less than a total of 10 points. But, I mean, they have – as far as the Big Sky goes, I agree with you. I think they've looked about as good as anybody else. Eastern Washington is a team I kind of like a little bit, but I don't know. There just isn't a whole lot to get excited about here.
Yeah, well, Eastern Washington has very nice wins over George Fox and Great Falls, which are
Great
two –
Great Falls, I mean,
That team's best win is a win over Denver, but I guess if Weber State can't beat Denver, it must be a good win. I don't know this much more.
A little disappointing. Good grief.
David, a quick quickly over to the Big South and a very quick preview of what will most likely be tomorrow night's under the radar game of the day as Big South conference play gets going again. I guess they've actually already played a few games, but Radford is at High Point tomorrow night. And that's a game that I'm actually looking forward to. And this could be one of the deciding games of this conference this year.
As far as the regular season standing goes, I agree. It's a game that High Point needs to win because they are at home. And I like this Winthrop team a lot, too. I like them as much as I like High Point and Radford. But big game tomorrow night. It's a little unfortunate. Well, it is New Year's Eve, so it could be a rather festive atmosphere depending on how they manage that. Some schools even – I was just going to say, like, if you have a big home game or a conference opener over the Christmas break, not all schools, but a lot of schools will open the dorms and let the kids in, and they have no classes and nothing to do, so they have creative – they're in a pretty festive mood by the time the game starts.
You mentioned this Winthrop team, and I was just wanted to give you a chance to defend it because, you know, I just don't see anything that they've done so far. They didn't beat anybody, nor did High Point, but they – lost fairly, I mean, by double digits of their games to Georgia, Alabama, NC State. You look at, and I hate looking at losses, but you look at High Point, a 4-point loss to Texas Tech, 3 points to Georgia, 6 points to NC State, overtime 3 points to William and Mary. That shows me this is a team that's in the games and has a shot. And those back-to-back games with NC State and William and Mary, they really should have won them both. I mean,
they really should have, especially the NC State game. Up until this point, there's no debating it. High Point has looked better. But, I mean, Winthrop, they've been to the championship game 2 years in a row. They've been really successful once they get in the conference play. And not that this is a defense of them. I almost think they're just kind of biding their time until conference play starts.
So, all right, well, we'll find out starting tomorrow then. If they go down to High Point and win, I'll eat my words.
Oh, Lord. I'm looking at their schedule now. Did you see who this is absurd. Can we get this? Let's get this on the screen here. This is Warren Nolan's site here. I just wanted to highlight for everyone who Winthrop's last game was against, the University of Rio Grande, Ohio. I think it's outrageous that, Long Island, Brooklyn is in Brooklyn and not Rhode Island. Rio Grande, Ohio might be the most egregious geographically challenged thing I've ever.
Well, you know, Miami's already in Ohio, so why not Rio Grande? Come on, David.
What a confused place. Well, I lived in Ohio for 10 years, and I've never heard of that school.
let's keep going here over to the Big West. And Hawaii really is a team we spoke a lot about last week after their very admirable performance in the Diamond Head Classic. Obviously losing to Oklahoma, but knocking off Northern Iowa and Auburn in that tournament. Only problem is they still haven't won a road game and have only played one road game.
Yeah, and again, it was at Texas Tech, who hasn't lost a home game. They were actually they were actually fairly competitive in that game. And Texas Tech is a little better than I thought. I mean, no one's on our panels really talked about Texas Tech at all. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story.
But that's the thing. Hawaii needed to play more road games. I realize that they are situationally challenged, being that they're in Hawaii, but you have to win. How often do you see a team get an at-large bid, with fewer than 3 or 4 wins away from home, much less an under-the-radar team? I mean, you have to win 7, 8, or more games away from home if you're not in a power conference. So, I mean, Hawaii, they basically need to blow through this schedule to be anywhere close to the bubble, despite only having 2 losses against two teams that, at least for now, appear to be in the field.
Well, the good news that they have is there's only a couple teams that I think are going to challenge them, UC Irvine being the most significant. I wouldn't rule out this Long Beach team. I mean, put together a 6-9 record against what is now the number one strength of schedule in the nation following their game against Duke.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara actually has been competitive over the last week.
Yeah, they have played 13. This is Long Beach. They have played 13 Div 1 games. They've lost 9 of them. So with 4 wins out of 13, they still have a top 100 RPI. That is how hard their schedule has been. And if they get that record up, you know, from about 300 up to 500, 600, 700, that RPI is going to go up. Don't sleep on this Long Beach team. I think saying that they're going to land on or in the bubble is overstating it, but they're at least their RPI numbers and their computer numbers might end up being pretty bloated by the end of the year if they can get that record jacked up.
Yeah, I think they will be. The other team that I did quickly mention there was that Santa Barbara team. Picked up a win against Iona, even though it was an Iona team without AJ English, but then won at Washington last night, or 2 nights ago. Don't sleep on this team either. They really only have one semi-questionable loss, and it was a road trip to Vermont. And, you know, when you take a Santa Barbara team, you send it out to Vermont, you can't really expect them to win the game. So I'm just keeping an eye on them as we go forward. But we wanted to talk a little bit about the Colonial, where William and Mary has been the team that I think has looked the best so far in this conference.
Yeah, you look at, you know, they had the nice win against Central Michigan. They had to sweat that out. I thought that they would beat them. They beat High Point, who we talked about earlier. The one thing that kills them, and these aren't bad losses in the sense that they were to bad teams or they damage you, but they're bad in the sense that you needed to pick up a big win. That game at Dayton, they really needed that one. They could have also done without the loss to Howard. I don't want to say it's impossible, but anything short of I think they have maybe one strike prior to the conference tournament. If they two most, like if they lose more than two conference games, I think they're outside the bubble.
Well, what I look at with the Colonial is this has been the 8th or 9th rated conference in the country by KenPom, by RPI, by everything so far. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's a factor that may come in here. If the regular season champion in this conference does not win the automatic bid, I think they're going to get a very long, hard look by the committee. And I'm not saying it's going to be – maybe it won't be William & Mary. Maybe it will be Northwestern. Maybe it will be Hofstra. Maybe it will be James Madison. Could even be College of Charleston, who's been very surprising so far this year. But
very surprising.
I really think that the regular season champion is going to have a very good shot at the end of the day here in the Colonial.
I would like Northeastern's chances a lot better had they went to Detroit and Western Michigan and lost both games by a total of 4 points. And they had another like really stinking loss to Miami. But if they win, had they won those two games, which they really should have won both of them, suddenly their profile looks a ton better.
And they had a shot less. They were in the game last night with NC State the entire way and just fell apart at the end. That could have helped redeem them, especially with the Miami win already on their profile there.
Right.
And a nice win over what's looking like a nice win now over Stony Brook. Conference USA. I still think we're talking two teams here.
Do you?
No. I'm talking about two teams that have a shot at winning the conference. Not talking about two bids. Okay. And I think we're talking about Louisiana Tech and Middle Tennessee. Those are the only teams that I have seen anything from so far that has impressed me at all.
I got another one for you, and it's a team you liked at the beginning of the year, and I did too, that gave us reason very early on to not like them. UAB, since they – shat the bed down in Niceville, Florida at the Emerald Classic. They have not lost since, and they haven't beaten anybody really of note, but I mean, at least they're winning the games they're supposed to be winning. We'll see. They open against Middle Tennessee this Sunday. That's one of the teams you like. It's in Birmingham, and they're hosting the conference tournament. So I kind of think it's probably too little too late as far as landing inside the bubble. I really don't think anybody in this league can. But I could see them being one of the horses in the race to finish first in the league.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know that they necessarily have to finish first. I think as long as they finish in the top four and get that double bye into the quarterfinals in the CUSA tournament this year, that's enough. Hosting the tournament, they rode the home court last year. I don't like the fact that a team gets to host the tournament like this. I think
– no.
I guess Conference USA, but with 14 teams, a little more difficult, I guess, to do campus sites unless you said, hey, let's only take the top eight. And if you said, hey, let's only take the top eight because we're doing campus sites, I'd be all in favor of that. But I can understand Conference USA believing it is a more major conference than it really is, wanting to do the same thing that the ACC or the Big East or the SEC does and have a single site tournament.
Yeah. Okay. And here's some numbers for you. 3-8, 3-8, 3-9, 2-7, 1-10, 1-10. Those are six teams in this conference, their records. You're not exactly doing things the same the ACC does them based just on record. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. When you've got Florida Atlantic and Texas Tech, when you've got Southern Miss not being the worst team of your conference so far.
I mean, you have a couple of NIT caliber teams, maybe three or four NIT caliber teams, and then you have the Southland. That's this league.
Yeah, I think there is probably a six-team group here that all could possibly do something, along with the three you mentioned, UTEP, Western Kentucky, and Old Dominion, are the other three that could still make some noise.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely floored if anybody else in this conference ended up winning the conference tournament or making any type of serious noise this season.
Western Kentucky, Ray Harper's seat is getting a little hot, and we won't spend too much time on this, but are you a little – he's done well. He's made several NCAA tournaments, but this is a guy that won multiple national championships at the Division II level at Kentucky Wesleyan. Are you a little surprised that they haven't been more successful under him?
Well, I guess that I might be. I don't know that they've – You know, they have made two NCAA tournaments under him. It was both by making incredible runs in the conference tournament. They were not very good. They were 16-19 one of the years that they made back in 2012 when they won the Sun Belt tournament. But he has won 20 games in the last 3 years, though. I think he's probably going to win 20 games again this year, but maybe 20 games isn't really the standard anymore. Maybe it's 25 games. You know, I'm just with how bloated these schedules are coming. And with the fact that you're adding in a few extra wins in the CIT or the CBI and all these extra tournaments that we now have in the postseason.
So am
I shocked? Well, if Western Kentucky believes that they should be winning the Conference USA every year, I'm not too shocked. If they think that they are one of the top five or six teams in CUSA, then I am shocked. I'll put it that way. Over in the Horizon League, Valpo team here just could, even though they had a bit of a hiccup this week, I still really like this team.
Yeah, they needed that one. Are they out of strikes? Do they have to – can they lose a game in conference and still end up inside the bubble? Because
we're talking about the loss at Belmont. I can't penalize you too much for losing to a very good Belmont team.
Yes.
That you're playing for the second time in the season on the road. You beat them at home. I'm more concerned about the Ball State loss than anything else. Still, when I look at their resume, but they do have the nice win at Oregon State, dominating win over a healthy Iona team.
Yeah,
nice win over Belmont at home. You know, and they're going to have a few teams in this conference that are going to help their numbers a little bit. With now that Oakland and Milwaukee, even Detroit a little bit are looking a little bit better than we thought they were a month or so ago.
Yeah. And again, I like this Valpo team. I really liked this conference. I kind of hate that they did to what they did to their tournament. And I think it works against you in the event that, you know, what if Valpo does get out there and they lose at Oakland and they lose, you know, at Milwaukee, and then they stub their toes and they end up with three losses. But, you know, they win the league by two or three games and they're clearly the best team and they're clearly the team that has the best chance of advancing. Then instead of giving them home court and them the best chance to get to the NCAA tournament, you throw them into Detroit. I really think they messed this up for multiple reasons, one of which is like what we said earlier. They kind of ripped a lot of the storylines and stakes away from the regular season, but they did it. So how many strikes does Valpo have the rest of the way?
I think they still have, I mean, they still think they have a margin for error. And let me just throw out these three numbers here. These are their current power rating numbers after the loss to Belmont. Their RPI is at 27. Their ESPN BPI is at 41. Their KenPom is at 31. And their defense, just the defense number by KenPom, is fourth in the nation. Those are numbers that tell me this is a tournament team.
Oh, they are. They should be.
Yeah, and I don't. That's why I'm not penalizing them for the Belmont loss. I will penalize them if they go and they lose at Northern Kentucky, or they go and they lose at Cleveland State, or to Illinois, Chicago, one of these lousy teams. But I'm still really high on this team right now.
Okay.
Ivy League. We spoke a little bit about this Princeton team already, but is there somebody here that really caught your eye so far, David, or are we Kind of in for a dog fight.
I think we are, and I actually, and I know that they lost the game. I really liked how this Harvard team played out in Hawaii at the Diamond Head. They've won three of their last four, the one loss being to Oklahoma. They were really in that game really all the way until the under four timeout, and even a little bit longer than that. And again, there is no conference tournament. There is no incentive to be inside the bubble. And it's all about how good are you once conference play starts. And right now, at this moment in time, even though their paper is pretty bad up until now, Harvard might be the best team.
I'm not sleeping on this Yale team. Justin Sears is still, in my opinion, the best player in the Ivy League. This was a team that tied for the championship last year. While they are sitting here at 5-5, their losses were at SMU, at Duke, at Illinois, at USC, and at Albany. Maybe Illinois loss to be the worst of that group, even worse than the Albany loss. Now, the other thing with the Ivy League is this is the one conference where we're still actually a couple weeks away from starting regular season play. Look at Yale's schedule. They still have four more non-conference games, including their annual game with Daniel Webster, or I think that's a 5-on-1 matchup again, one of those.
Yeah.
Just a guy named Daniel Webster. Metro Atlantic, I know we want to touch on this here. Monmouth with the loss at Army.
Yeah.
Their next game, the rest of the season is conference play now. David, is this still an at-large caliber team?
Absolutely. And it's a little bit of an anomaly because if you look at things categorically, they're in their own category. I can say this with certainty. I don't think a team has ever won 8 games away from home in the out-of-conference portion of the schedule and been left out. So that would be a first. And it's how do you measure this? I know how I measure this, and we need our new bracket or tournament projections expert John Tytel to tell us how he thinks the committee will analyze this. Losing at Army is, I mean, when you're playing at Canisius, at Niagara, at Georgetown, at Rutgers, at Cornell, at Drexel, at USC, and at UCLA, and you lose and you win more than half of them, you're doing better than what a lot of at-large caliber teams would do against a schedule like that. Should a tournament team win at Army? Yes. But should a tournament team – I think that they've demonstrated that anybody, when you're playing that many games away from home, you're going to lose some of them. I really like this team.
I agree with you. I do like this team a lot despite the Army loss. And one of the things that the committee always talks about is record against teams in the field. If Army wins the Patriot League, and which we kind of are assuming, if we're going to say who's going to win the Patriot League right now, we're kind of saying it's going to be Army.
Yeah.
Then it's not a loss. It's not a bad loss. It's a loss against another team that made the NCAA tournament. So,
right.
I think it's not quite as bad as it could be otherwise. Yeah. If they had lost that game and that game had been played at UMass Lowell, very different story.
Right. And I think the media oversimplifies this, and I'm not picking on Joe Lenardi, Jerry Palm. I love what they do. I think what they do makes the game a lot more interesting for a lot of people. But you can't just top 50 wins, top 100 wins, top I mean, not all top 100 wins or sub 100 wins are the same. I mean, it's like, did you win at Kansas or did you win at home against, Niagara or somebody like that? Well, Niagara is way outside the top. But my point is, Army, even though they're outside the top 100, even though it is a sub 100 loss, it was on their floor. That's not an easy game to win.
Right. And this is a point that you always make, and I guess I'm going to be the one making it this year, but that may be. Army had the home loss to Marist, but Army may not lose at home again this season.
Yeah.
So Army may be a team with one home loss of the entire season if they can, run their Patriot League home schedule.
Yeah. And again, I had them on the four line. They were number 16 in the seed list that I just did, the same one that had Northern Iowa so high that we're going to get to here in a minute, but they deserved it. I mean, when you win that many games away from home against the teams they've played, you deserve – nobody else in the field's done that. So, yes, they're an at-large team. It would be a crime if the committee left them out, so long as they continue to win at the clip they have been winning at.
Well, if you look at the RPI, they're still, even with the Army loss, they're the number 12 team in the nation. So I'll throw that number out there for you. But looking at the rest of the Metro Atlantic, is there somebody else that you think is going to challenge here with Monmouth? I know that Iona has lost 6 games already, but you know, they're the team that I'm kind of keeping an eye on once AJ English is back and healthy for them.
Yeah, and again, is it missing AJ English that's hurting them, or is it having Tim Kloos? That he is kind of a curse there. I like Siena more than anybody else. They are the team that I would watch. Manhattan has been very disappointing. I'm a little shocked.
I didn't expect much from them this year, so I'm not that shocked. Mid-American Conference, this Akron team, you know, even by under the radar standards, is kind of flying under the radar here, but only has 2 losses at Villanova and at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Is it time to start paying a little more attention to them?
Oh, I think it is, in the sense by under the radar standards, but they, I mean, these are their wins. Cleveland State, no winning record. Charleston Southern, no winning record. Coppin State, no wins. Marshall, losing record. Cookman, losing record. Santa Barbara, losing record. Iona, losing record. SC State, losing record. Their next win against a team with a winning record will be their first. And we love the MAC. We love the under the radar.
Oh, we didn't check Hiram College's record. That was
excuse
their
19.
I don't know. They might have a winning record. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I might stand corrected. That throws my whole point out the window. Why didn't you play anybody? And that's, I hate to see good teams left out, and you hate it even more when those teams don't give themselves a chance. Akron gave themselves no chances other than going to Villanova, which is swinging way over their heads anyway. Like SFA, why didn't you schedule all these teams? We say it all the time, play each other.
Yeah. outside of this Akron team, is there somebody else that you're looking at here in the MAC so far?
Ohio has – I kind of like this Ohio team, it's more of an eye test thing. And when you look at their wins, they haven't really come against good teams. But, I mean, they have kind of looked a little strong. I thought they looked pretty good down at the Paradise Jam, even in some losing efforts. But those are the teams that I keep my eye on the most. But another one, and I don't think that they're going to be close to the bubble, but just a program that is drastically improved is this Northern Illinois team.
Yeah, we've mentioned them a few times in the last few weeks, and I really think that this is a team that's on the rise. I think as they get into MAC play here, they're probably going to end up third or fourth place in the division. But even that's a huge, huge improvement of what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
The other team that I'm kind of keeping an eye on still is the Central Michigan team. I know that they are been lousy so far, but you know, Chris Fowler has now played 5 games after missing the start of the season. He's starting to look pretty good. He picked up 21 points in the loss to William and Mary. I'd keep an eye on them as we move into the conference play.
Okay. Yeah.
Over in the MEAC, let's see here. I'm looking for a team with a winning record. No. Finally, I get to Howard at 500. What's that? 7-7?
Yeah. And again, 2 of those came against non-Div 1 teams.
Right.
None of these teams have winning records against Div 1 teams. I wish I could say that was more surprising. I like Hampton and Howard. They've looked the best, although Norfolk State put up somewhat of a fight today against Old Dominion. How meaningful is conference play when it's at a predetermined site and no one's going to be near the 15 line?
Well, the predetermined site being in Norfolk also, so if Norfolk State ends up being one of the top seeds, you got to give them a huge advantage, although that hasn't really played out the last few years for them. So, this has been one of the crazier conference tournaments actually the last few years, which is probably the one good thing we could say about the MEAC is we always get a fun conference tournament there.
Right.
All right, Missouri Valley Conference. I think even a bigger question than your what do you do with Northern Iowa question is what do you do with a Wichita State question? Overall record 6-5.
Yeah.
But, you know, 3 of those losses were without Van Vliet.
They were without Van Vliet, and not only weren't really disgusting losses. Iowa is looking really good. Alabama has been better than we expected, as has USC. Tulsa, you kind of got to get that win. But I think that if they can blow – they're going to have to blow through the conference in order to land inside the bubble. But with Van Vliet, I definitely think they're good enough to do it. Right. I still think they're going to get it turned around.
I know you like Northern Iowa. I still like this Evansville team a lot here. I'm liking them more and more each week. They're now sitting here at 11-2. I know they don't have that great signature win, but I think they've played well enough. I think it's an eye test thing more for me with them. They're going to get their chances next Wednesday at Wichita State. There we go, as we move into Missouri Valley play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a full double round robin, so they'll get the game at Northern Iowa. They'll get Illinois State twice, or Loyola twice, who are going to be competitive teams at least. How many bids do you think we're getting out of the Missouri Valley? I think it's a multiple bid league.
I think they're going to get two.
Okay.
I don't know which two. Northern Iowa has made – they've certainly made a case for themselves, and they've certainly made a case against themselves. It's amazing what they've done, really, on both ends of their profile. Evansville's really good. Southern Illinois, I know that they've gotten that record based on fluff, but maybe a team to kind of keep an eye on as well. They're actually playing Loyola.
My problem with Southern Illinois is based on the schedule they put together, they should be 13-0 right now. Their losses were to UTEP and SIU Edwardsville. I mean, it's in the fraud or for real category, I think the Southern Illinois team is a fraud.
Okay. But they are winning. I mean, and they're winning against Loyola as we speak. If they hold on, every bracketologist is going to have them in as the automatic bid. Anyway.
Right. Let's move over to the Northeast Conference, another one of our favorite conferences in terms of enjoying the conference regular season. Has some great rivalries here. Most of these teams have been in the same conference together for years upon years.
Yeah,
and you know, you can't beat St. Francis Brooklyn versus LIU Brooklyn in terms of a regular season conference rivalry. Yeah. But I know you put Wagner in as your team. I was thoroughly unimpressed with Wagner when I saw them live against Monmouth earlier this year.
Well, it's been hard to. I've been thoroughly unimpressed with virtually what all these teams have done outside of conference play. It's kind of a train wreck. Wagner and LIU Brooklyn, and then everybody else. I mean, no one has really looked that good. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in Central Connecticut. They crushed their chances of being relevant when they lost.
When they won, at home against
UMass Lowell.
Yeah. Just an update on one of the teams here. St. Francis of Pennsylvania, NJIT, turned that game on in the last 8 minutes and ended up winning it by 12. So SFPA does not have that NJIT notch on their belts.
Okay.
Over in the Ohio Valley Conference, Belmont.
Did you skip the Mountain West? Oh, wait.
We talked about them the other night, actually, on the Hoops HD report. Okay. So we definitely don't want to be talking about them twice. We don't even want to be talking about them once, I don't think. OVC, Belmont, I think, is now, I mean, not in terms of an automatic, an at-large bid, but I think Belmont, with that nice win over Valpo, is now clearly turning things around, in my opinion, at least.
I think so, too. And again, they haven't looked good by at-large standards, which is the standard we were measuring them by coming into the year. They do have a nice win at Marquette. But that's not enough. They'll have to win the conference tournament to get in. Fortunately, it's in Tennessee. And fortunately, I don't think there's anybody in this league that they can't beat.
There's one team that I just want to throw out here, and it's sitting here at 4-11, but they've had a lot of games where they've been in the games and then falling apart late. Happened again last night, losing it in overtime to Alabama. And that's this Jacksonville State team. They've have a lot of bad losses, but they've been very competitive against some of the better competition, and losing to the worst competition.
Yeah,
they kind of get the slate wiped clean here, though, as you go into conference play.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised to see them make a little bit of noise in this conference this year.
And they could. I mean, and you look at how they start off. Their first two games are at home, very winnable games, and if they get both of those, it kind of resets your thinking. Because suddenly you're 2-0.
Right. And I think they're going to be feeling good. Even though they lost the game in Alabama, they're going to be feeling good that they almost went and beat Big Brother there, you know, beat the name brand team in their state. We already discussed the Patriot League at the top of the show.
Oh, but my God. Brown and Rhodey are in overtime. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, there's another one of those Ivy League teams that could be part of this craziness here. But Chattanooga continuing to roll here, just two losses, 11-2 on the season, heading into conference play beginning this weekend over in the SoCon. I know we both like them a lot. Is there anybody else that you're looking at in this conference after Chattanooga, though?
I don't think I'm looking at anybody as being as good as they are, but Mercer, much better than expected. Samford, much better than expected.
Very surprisingly good.
Yeah, the Citadel with four Div 1 wins, way ahead of their normal pace, much better than expected. They might finish.
With their new head coach there, the guy from coming over from VMI, Bochum, obviously having a major impact right from the start. The other biggest surprise, I think, in the Southern is I did not expect this team to be good, but I didn't expect it to be horribly bad, and that's this Wofford team.
Oh, Lord.
Sitting here at 3-8, after how good they've been in recent years.
Yeah, and is it six of the last 9 years they've made the NCAA tournament? Mike Young done a tremendous job there, but really, really ugly, ugly year so far this year. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's not just that they've lost to good teams, but they've lost a game to Austin Peay. They lost to Coastal Carolina. And even worse, they lost to Missouri. I mean,
oh, Lord. Which they're going to need a waiver.
Yeah, but, I don't think they're going to need a waiver. They're not going to be good enough to qualify for one. David, I'm going to let you take the next conference all by yourself, the Southland. Go for it.
Okay, the Southland. We have Corpus Christi out with a 7-3 record. Now on to the let's see what's next. The Sun Belt.
Okay, I've got the SWAC up next. But
the SWAC. SFA horrendously bad along with the rest of the league. We have, oh my God, this is great. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with one win or fewer in this league, the Southland.
Well, all right. Anyway. We do have, though, the Incarnate Word Cardinals, who now have won, picked up wins at St. John's and at Rice. yeah, they lost to Our Lady of the Lake, but
oh, God. Oh, my God.
But it helps us with that little, you know, who's better than who, because Our Lady of the Lake beats Incarnate Word, who beats St. John's, who beats Syracuse, who beat UConn, and we can just kind of keep going on from there.
Right.
Making Our Lady of the Lake the best team in the nation, obviously.
Yeah. And those are Div 1 wins, what I was saying, by the way. So yeah. Seven teams with one Div 1 win or fewer. What?
The SWAC is normally the league that we roll our eyes at and really has been this year, mostly because of what Southern has done in the non-conference schedule.
Yeah, Southern has really – I mean, they're 5-5 against Div 1 teams. They have a few more wins on top of that. Paul Quinn, I think that was your college roommate, wasn't it, Chad? One of the teams that they've beaten. You know, we're in the game at Memphis for most of it, in the game at La Tech for most of it. Didn't really watch them against Omaha in their last game, which they actually got drubbed in. But they've looked better than anybody else. Another team that I know that you've been looking at is who they open against, and that's Texas Southern, who only has one win. But like you said, I mean, they've been cashing paychecks.
They have been. I mean, they played a few teams that they should have beaten, possibly in the likes of Howard and maybe SFA, Central Michigan.
Yeah.
But they actually have one more home game coming up New Year's Eve here against Hampton. And which will actually not just be one more home game, it's one more non-conference game. It is their first home game of the season. That's how many paychecks they've been cashing.
Yeah, good God. Anyway.
But, you know, Texas Southern fans, you can finally turn out to see your team for the first and only time in the 2015 half of the 2015-16 season.
Yeah.
But then they go right into conference play, and I think it's going to be them, Southern, and maybe this Alabama A&M team as we go through the season.
Okay.
South Dakota State over in the Summit League picked up a huge win. It was neutral court win, technically. It was in Sioux Falls against Middle Tennessee over the weekend. Very impressed with that victory.
Yeah, it really was. They've been looking pretty good. I think there's a couple other teams that have looked good in this league, but none as good as they've been. And again, it raises the question, is the door open for them to land inside the bubble if they blow through the regular season?
I think you really got to talk about blowing through the regular season. And I'm not just talking about, you know, finishing first place with three or four losses. I'm talking about One loss, maybe two losses at the most.
Yeah.
And those better be what I'll call the good losses, which is the game at North Dakota State and maybe the game at Western Illinois or the game at
And again, it's kind of – well, they open up with – they go through a stretch from January 7th through the end of January where they play 5 of 7 games on the road. If they get through that – because, again, the latter part of the schedule has more at home. If they get through that stretch, they're going to be in good shape. And by getting through it, I mean they have to win them all.
Win them all, or I think they can lose one game. I mean, the Oral Roberts game is the other game that I was thinking of that they could, you know, you could suffer one loss like that, but not much more than that.
Yeah, but it is a good team.
Over in the Sun Belt, we've got Arkansas, Little Rock, and Texas Arlington, two teams we've been talking about a lot this year. We've also spoken a little bit about Georgia State. I guess the question I have as we head into conference play with these three teams is, how good are these resumes really going to look as we go through the season? For example, Little Rock, yeah, they won at San Diego State and at Tulsa, but those wins are looking a lot less as those teams go on. And
it's a fair point.
And they could end up getting beaten up here with the fact that there's other quality competition. I still think both Louisiana schools, Lafayette and Monroe, could make some noise in this conference as well. I think there's – the conference may be too competitive for Little Rock or Arlington to dominate the way that they would need to get the at-large bid.
Yeah, and in the case of Arlington, I think that there's more brand on their schedule than meat. And by that, I mean like Ohio State, Memphis. These are not teams
The Ohio State win may end up being pretty good, though, because I think Ohio State looked very good tonight beating up on Minnesota, although it was Minnesota, but they have the Kentucky win. Ohio State might be coming back. Memphis win, I agree. I don't think that's going to be much of anything.
Right. So I think they have to keep winning at the clip that they've been winning at. You don't have 3 or 4 strikes. Like, you got to get through this league, and I think it's a 20-game format. You got to go 18-2, 19-1.
And the other team that I really am looking at now is this Georgia State team. Has a nice win over Old Dominion already. And I got to give a little shout out to them because of the fact that they gave me a nice retweet on the game of the day today. So that's why we like them the most.
They're at Arlington in a hugely important game right now. So a hugely important game going on between those two right now.
West Coast Conference, St. Mary's. We actually discussed St. Mary's in our regular show, in our Hoops HD report the other night, just because of this schedule that they put together here. And I say schedule with barely is a schedule, I think. They have played 12 games so far, 2 of them on the road. One they lost to Cal, the other was a conference game that they won at Santa Clara. Their next two games are home games as well. I mean, is this team any good or not? It's sitting here at 11-1.
No. Well, maybe. But, I mean, we'll learn more about them. And, again, they don't have any strikes. They have to finish first in this league. Or among BYU and Gonzaga, they play those teams 4 times. They have to win – or 4 times total. They have to win 3 of those 4 games, which means they have to win either at Gonzaga or at BYU to get in.
Well, if you want to look at when their first road – test is going to be, that means a game that they have that they might have a shot at losing on the road, it's February 4th at BYU. That's ridiculous that your first really tough road game comes in February. I'm sorry.
And you won't know until then, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves because they don't have any notable wins.
Last but certainly not least, Grand Canyon, a little bit of a struggle with Edwardsville the other night, but pulled out the win. One more game coming, non-conference game coming up Sunday before WAC play starts. But the team of the people, hashtag Lopes waiver,
we got
to
get
continuing
that
to roll.
Look at the rest of this conference. For the love of God, the WAC needs our help. They need Grand Canyon in the tournament.
Yeah, if you look in terms of RPI, BPI, KenPom ratings, WAC, Grand Canyon has the best of all of those. I mean, maybe you start looking at a New Mexico State or a UMKC if you've got to find somebody else to look at.
Right.
But let me ask you, I mean, is one of those teams someone that you're looking at? Or
no. I'm looking at Grand Canyon.
Nobody but Grand Canyon. Okay. On that note, David, I think we want to take a quick preview of some of the upcoming games here over the next week or so. And coming up tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, we already mentioned that Radford High Point game. St. Mary's actually has their home game against BYU tomorrow night. That's a
yeah.
For those of you that are not watching, especially in the Eastern Central time zone, it's 11 p.m. Eastern start. So if you're not watching the New Year ring in and you want to watch college basketball instead, you can. BYU at St. Mary's.
That's what I'll be doing.
Call me and give me a report. Okay. Not much in terms of under the radar on New Year's Day itself. There's only a very small handful of games, but a few games of note coming up over the weekend. On Saturday, Bucknell is at Army in a Patriot League regular season game. Charleston at William & Mary in the Colonial. At a non-conference game that I think we mentioned earlier, Columbia at Stony Brook. We mentioned that Southern Texas Southern game. One game, though, that I'm really looking forward to hear coming up on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, David. Another team we mentioned earlier in the tonight. Our Lady of the Lake is going to be at Rio Grande Valley. Texas Rio Grande Valley, not Ohio Rio Grande Valley.
We got to get Lee Delvecchio out there.
A nice Summit League game coming up on Sunday. If Western Illinois does have anything after they picked up, they went to start the season at Wisconsin, they start conference play at Dakota State. It's a huge test for them. But I expect South Dakota State to win that. Game coming up on Tuesday night in the SoCon, one of the more key matchups of the regular season, we're going to have Mercer at Chattanooga. That's one of the one I wanted to throw out there. And then coming up next Wednesday, because we're probably not going to do our Under the Radar until either Wednesday or Thursday night next week, two games I want to throw out. First, Evansville at Wichita State, a huge game in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, that is big.
And if Evansville wins that game, one, it's going to be huge for Evansville's profile, and two, it's going to be really damaging for Wichita State at that
point. Right. Evansville, are you aware, they're sweating at home against the trees right now. They can't lose to the trees.
Yeah, they got to pull this game out. So if we can go back and erase that and modify it if they actually end up losing this game. Yeah. And the other game, of course, is NJIT at EL. That's the return game from a game I was at last year, in fact.
Right.
There's a few non-conference games out there this year. Hopefully Justin Sears will keep his teeth in his mouth this time and be able to play the whole game. On that note, David, I think we want to get to our top tens, or at least I'll go through mine and you can comment on it. Despite the loss at Belmont, I've still got Valpo number one. I know it's a little bit of an iffy number one.
I don't know how you can have them over Monmouth, and that's more praise of Monmouth than it is criticism.
My problem was that they both lost a game, and that's the order that I had them last week. They both lost, and I can't fault either one of them for their loss. So I've got Monmouth at two, Valpo at one still.
And then number three I see here, Chattanooga. Are we in agreement that those three are inside the bubble right now?
I think that those three are inside the bubble. I think my top five are all inside the bubble right now.
Yeah, though. With Wichita and Evansville. Yeah, Wichita's, and I would even say Little Rock. I like them a little more than you do.
But. Yeah, so Wichita is number four. Evansville is number five. And as you mentioned, Little Rock, number six here. At number seven, I have that other Sun Belt team in Arlington. Again, I think those two are almost interchangeable. I really think that those have very similar profiles. I know you like Little Rock better. I've got it very, very close.
Right. Arlington currently up. At the half against Georgia State at the time we're recording is 36-29. That would be another nice win for them, especially with it being a conference game. If one of those two runs away from the league, I do think they land inside the bubble.
I agree, but they've got to run away from the league, and I don't know that anybody can run away from the Sun Belt this year. That's just my thought on it, especially because the two teams that I liked 1-2 heading into the season haven't even made any noise yet, and it's both Louisiana schools. Number eight, I've got Bill and Mary back in. I like the fact that they have the back-to-back wins over High Point and Central Michigan, albeit at home, and I really think that somebody from the Colonial is going to be inside the bubble.
Wow.
I think the first-place finisher is, and who is going to be the first-place finisher right now? For me, it's going to be Bill and Mary.
I can agree with that. I think they need to run away from it a little bit, but I don't know. I'll save that for my closing thought, but number nine, the team of the people.
Yes, number nine, the team of the people. Hashtag Lopes Waiver. Tweet it out, everybody. We've got to keep it going. We got Bethune-Cookman coming up, and then we got conference play, so let's keep this going.
Yes.
And then at number 10, I do have this Hawaii team. I know they have not been on the road yet, except for once, which they lost. And I know it's the same exact thing that St. Mary's has done, but I like their wins better than St. Mary's, and that's why they're up there, and St. Mary's is not. I did give an honorable mention to St. Mary's, though.
I have South Dakota State. I would have them ahead of Hawaii and St. Mary's. I really like them.
Well, I did give South Dakota State a second honorable mention. I also keep giving Louisiana Tech an honorable mention just because I think that we got, at least in terms of this top 10, discuss our Conference USA's best team.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to get persuaded that maybe I'm overvaluing Conference USA, and I normally don't like them at all. So, and I don't like them much this year, and I think I'm overvaluing them. That's how bad the league is.
Yeah.
But David, any other thoughts here, or do you want to go right into our final thoughts?
Well, again, just as a final thought, the number of teams that are inside the bubble, this is, in the years that we've been doing this, I think this is year three of Under the Radar. I don't think we've ever had this many on the eve of conference play. It's just been a really, and I think it could be a really exciting year. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching Valpo, Monmouth, Chattanooga, Wichita, Little Rock. These teams go through conference play and try and stay inside the bubble. I think it could make for a very exciting NCAA tournament if some or all of them do get in. It's just been, I don't remember this many good teams at this juncture. And again, with the exception, Monmouth went out and played. Chattanooga went out and played. Evansville really didn't, but Little Rock did. Arlington did. I hate the term. I mean, it's nails on a chalkboard when I hear the term one-bid league. It's a one-bid league, as if it's like some predetermined, you know, assessment. If you're in a small conference and you get out there and play, you can land inside the bubble.
I agree. And this year, one of the things that I really like about the chances of these under the radar leagues getting, I won't call them one bid league, and under the radar league getting an at-large bid is actually has to do with three other conferences. 2 years ago, the Atlantic 10, American, and Mountain West combined for 8 at-large bids. Last year, those two leagues combined for 5 at-large bids. If you go off of what we predicted in our Hoops HD report Monday night, we've got 2 at-large bids total coming from those three leagues this year.
Yeah.
That means there are spots that are opening up. And yeah, maybe they're going to be, maybe the more the ACC teams or more Pac-12 teams, or maybe, you know, we get a couple of Missouri Valley Conference teams, a couple Metro teams, and a couple Sunbelt teams. Why not?
Yeah. And they've earned it.
But on that note, I do want to wish everybody a happy and healthy new year. We will talk to you again, I guess, next year.
All right.